This concludes this teaching from the prayer room. For more resources available from Brad Stroop, or to schedule Brad or another TPR teacher to come speak at your church or event, please see our website at theprayerroomdfw.com.
Well, tonight is our third and last session in Being Content in God. We've been doing this for a few weeks now, and this last session's entitled, what is, that's not even a real word. Entitled, Staying Thankful in Our Day. See, I was trying to say the subject or the title of the, anyway, it's not worth it. Staying Thankful All Our Days. And these last couple of 3 years have been a little bit difficult for me to like be awesome at this, but this is something I've normally been like historically really good at. So this is kind of like one of my like, you know, messages I can really do well and like really, you know, have some experience in, is just carrying a heart of gratitude, of thanksgiving, and doing that, you know, all the days of our life. And even in the midst of this past season, while things have been tough, I have found again and again that if I will turn my heart to the Lord with gratitude, with thankful, thoughts, with praise on my lips, with intentionality, I have found again and again the Lord just lifting up my spirit. And so this, to me, is one of the, like, main lessons that a believer needs. I mean, it's, you know, it's not one of the main doctrinal points, but it is one of, like, the main ways to live. I mean, I can think of maybe five that I would put in this category that I can just think of as one of the things that, like, we really got to get down well. I probably put in staying unoffended, you know, as one of those. I'd put in even the concept of giving, just because of what that does in our heart and stuff. But this idea of staying thankful to the Lord is so crucial. It is so helpful. It is a game-changing in our attitude. It can help us overcome circumstances. I mean, this is a really powerful lesson. So I want to encourage you tonight to set your heart on this. Lord, I'm going to walk out of here with a greater perspective and more intentionality of being thankful, because it's just good food for the soul. Well, what we're looking at in this series on being content, the subject of thanksgiving is the fuel for the contentment engine. If you are seeking to be content in God, thanksgiving is like the main rocket fuel. It is the way to stay content, because you can't fix your circumstances sometimes, but you can fix your perspective. You can do that at any point if you so choose, if you're willing to press through. And this idea of thanksgiving, it is a violent one. Last week, we looked at the enemy of contentment, covetousness, always wanting more, longing, discontent, not satisfied, longing for more. So last week, covetousness, you could call the enemy of contentment. This week, I'm calling thanksgiving the fuel for contentment. Having a heart full of thanksgiving is the absolute best place to be. A heart filled with gratitude, where just the many things that the Lord has done for us, the many things that he is for us, being readily available on our lips, in our praises, in our prayer life, in our conversation with the Lord, in our conversation with each other. I mean, it is the way to live. It is the absolute best place to be. And it is, it's because it continually points us back to his goodness and his provision again and again. If we stay thankful, we stay thinking about God as the good God. And if we can stay there, because he is, I mean, it's like the Bible makes it really clear, God's good. But when we start bringing other thoughts and perspectives into the equation, when we allow our minds to venture from the goodness of God, we just like, it's kind of like you are what you eat. You are what you think. And if you're thinking about all all this other stuff, you wind up with a discontent heart. You wind up far from the purposes of the Lord. But to carry ourselves with continual thanksgiving, it is such a safety net. It continually points us back to his goodness and his character and his nature, and it winds up causing us to engage in positive interactions with the Lord. Positive ones. I mean, you can't help that if you stub your toe, it hurts. I get life sends its difficulties. But if you can intentionally engage with the Lord on positive notes called thanksgiving, thanking him, talking to him about the things that he's done, the good things that he's pouring out, then this allows your life to be in a focused direction that is so better than all the other alternatives. I mean, it is the direction the arrow is flying. I mean, it is the way that you are casting, the path that you are going can be determined in your thought life, in what you choose to do with circumstances, situations, days, and time, is causing our heart, or calling our heart rather, to be thankful and filled with gratitude. I mean, just saying those words a few times just makes me happy. Being thankful, being gracious, you know, having a grateful heart, showing gratitude to the Lord. I mean, these things are just, it's like, you can't say those things and frown like it's a terrible idea. Being thankful, what an awful idea, bah humbug. I mean, it's like, what, this is a crazy idea to be offended by the concept of Thanksgiving. It's just good. It's good fuel for the soul. And it's part of the system that God invented. It's part of the way that he wants life to work. So, first point I want to make tonight is, beside it being a really good idea, I mean, everybody likes a cheerful person. I mean, in the general sense, everybody does. I mean, you might find one person that really, you know, needs to maybe have an attitude adjustment. But most people really like cheerful people because they're just cheery. They kind of spill over on you a little bit. More than everybody liking cheerful people, more than being cheery, being a good idea, thankfulness is more than attractive, more than a joy to be around. It's a clear direction from the Bible. Like, things like, the Bible says, like, repent. You know, it's a command. You're supposed to repent when you do bad stuff, or when you're, you know, you've made mistakes, or, you know, if you haven't come to know the Lord yet, repent. It's like a clear mandate from the scripture. Thankfulness is a clear mandate. The Lord knows how the human heart works so well. He makes this issue of thanksgiving mandatory. He's like, you got to do this. This is a need that we have. So I just want to read us some of the scripture's statements about the issue of thanksgiving. And not Thanksgiving is cool, Thanksgiving is fun, but you should do thanksgiving. You should, like, not turkey, like actual praise to the Lord. You should offer up thanksgiving to him. You could do turkey too. That's good. I like that. So let's put up those verses, Hebrews 12, Colossians 3 and 4, and Psalm 147. Let's read these. All right, the first one. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So the prerequisite for this is the fact that you're saved and you're in the kingdom of God. Since you're in the kingdom, since you're saved, since you are a part of the kingdom of God and you're going to receive the kingdom when it comes, and if you die to be with the Lord before he comes, then you'll go to be with him there, and then he'll bring his kingdom here. But this whole prerequisite is, since you're a part of the kingdom of God, be thankful. So if you're a part of the kingdom of God, commanded, be thankful. Like, this is the right way to live. This is what God wants. It's the call of the Lord on our lives. Since you're saved, be thankful. Next, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Be thankful. It's a command. Be thankful. It's not like, I want to sell you on Thanksgiving because it'll make you happier. I want to sell you on this idea. Listen, here's this neat thing in the Bible. If you'll be thankful, things will be better. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's an imperative that we should follow this command. Be thankful. Next, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's not just that we should have a prayer life. We know that. We're called to be thankful. Be thankful. Have that as part of your, I'm going to get up today. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to try to follow the principles of the kingdom. I'm going to try to love my neighbor. I'm going to try to press into knowing God. And I, for the love of all good things, I'm going to be thankful today. I am going to be a thankful human being. I will not let it be said of me when I show up at the pearly gates at the end of the deal, this person was ungrateful. This person was not a thankful person. I want to be defined as a thankful person because the Bible says be thankful again and again and again. How about one more? Same kind of concept. Psalm 147, Verse 7, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Singing, just gratitude. You may go, well, I don't really have much of a singing voice. That doesn't matter. Sing to him with gratitude. Lord, thank you for this day and for my friends and for my family. Sing with a grateful heart. Sing with grateful speech, being thankful. Sing gratefully. I mean, that actually is a little bit of a call to spontaneous singing. When you're just out and about, make up a song to the Lord about how thankful you are. I mean, the idea is that in every context, in every situation, we're supposed to be thankful. And I just don't know that that really marks us. I mean, I'm just thinking about like our lives, like are we mostly defined or could be described as thankful, or are we mostly defined as being kind of grumbly, you know, grumpy, upset, discontent? Because the Bible says, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Lift up praises of gratitude to the Lord. And I mean, this is just a few little, you know, verses. I mean, there's a bunch about this issue, this command to your soul, soul, be thankful. Man, well, the Lord's the one that made the earth. He's the one that knows very well what we're up against. Well, traffic, it's tough to be thankful in traffic. The Lord knew traffic was coming. He knew. The invention of the automobile was no surprise to him, and he knew how many people would then start driving them. He knew the difficulties we'd face, whatever problems, the angst, the longings of the heart unfulfilled, he knew. And yet the command of the Lord to the church is be thankful. Well, apart from it being a command, there really is a secret. There's a secret power that's released in this. I think it's the reason that he makes it so clear in the scripture that this really shouldn't be like, well, you've got some Christians that are like thankful, and then you've got some that are just kind of grumpy. You got some that like are constantly filled with appreciation for the Lord, and then some that they don't really make that their big thing. They're kind of focused on other things. I think it's the reason that he made it like, no, if you're saved, be thankful. As a Christian, as one that loves Jesus, carry yourself with thanksgiving. The reason is because there's power in it. And he knows we're in a mess. He knows it's tough down here. He knows what we're up against and the struggles and the pain and the situations and the disappointments. He knows. And the power is connected to overcoming those things by opening our mouth and saying, God, thank you. There's power in it. I want to look at this for a second. It's a simple decision, but it makes profound impact on us. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a situation where it was not awesome, and I just chose, I'm going to be thankful right now. I'm going to say things I am not feeling. Right now, I am feeling cuss words, but I'm not going to say cuss words. I am going to say things of thanksgiving. I'm going to thank God. I am not feeling it, but I am going to thank God, and my attitude changed. I mean, it's power. There's power on this thing. It's like electricity. It still boggles my mind. I got the hairdryer in my hand. I push the button, nothing happens. I look at it, I push the button, nothing happens. I plug the end of a cord into the wall, and all of a sudden the hairdryer works. That's mind-boggling to me. A minute ago, there was no current. The thing didn't work. Now there's current coming through the wall somehow. There's electricity coming to the hairdryer. The hairdryer works. But all I did was stick it into the wall. The very difference was like a millimeter of difference between cord right outside the plug and cord in the plug. And all of a sudden, now there's electricity flowing through the thing. We got broken hairdryers. They're not broken. We just aren't plugging them in. The issue is the current's not flowing. There is something powerful about Thanksgiving. It is powerful, and it's as simple as plugging that out thing in the outlet. And yet we don't do it. We just sit there and look at it and kind of mope. Well, my hairdryer won't work. It's like we're all like Eeyore the donkey, and all we got to do is stick the plug in the wall. It's that simple, and all of a sudden we got to work a hairdryer. It's that way with Thanksgiving. There's power in it. God invented this. It was his decision, and it's as easy as plugging the thing in the wall, and yet we don't. We look at our situation and we just kind of like mope. Or we just kind of go through life distracted and we don't ever even realize that we might need to do our hair. I mean, we don't ever even get out that hair dryer. Is that there's Thanksgiving, a power, a real power available to all of us at any given point. And it's through the on-ramp of Thanksgiving. I just want to give you Philippians 4, 9 through 8 as a passage on this subject. I want you to think about it. Now, this is Paul, and he's talking to the church of Philippi about how their hearts can be content by taking captive their thoughts. And he's the gist of the passage here is, I know there's all kinds of bad things you can think about. I know there's all kinds of hardships in life. I know that things don't always go the way that you want them to, but if you'll take those thoughts captive, and instead of thinking about those thoughts, instead of giving time and attention to those thoughts, if instead you'll think about good stuff, then God will release secret power. If you will take your mind's attention, and instead of thinking on all the negative things, you will think on things that are will cause your heart to be grateful. You will intentionally set your focus on things that will cause you to be grateful. Then God will release power in your soul. And here's what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, so that's the testimony. I want you to think about things that will cause you to praise God, that will give thanksgiving to God. If anything is on the list of that which will cause you to praise God, will cause you to be thankful, anything you can think of that will cause you to be thankful, think about such things. And the peace of God will be with you. Or the God of peace will be with you. God's peace, the God of peace, and instead of it just saying, and God will be with you and it'll be neat, it says the God of peace because the power is God, who is peace, will rest his peace on you even though your circumstances would dictate otherwise. Power will be released to you. You will experience the peace of God through the decision of thanksgiving. I felt it so many times. It's real. This is really real. This is the way to live, folks. This is why it's a command. This is why it's so clear. Be thankful. Be thankful. Have thanksgiving, you know, in your heart. Have a grateful praise in your mouth. Because there's power in it. And that power is released to us when we think about such things. It doesn't mean just think happy thoughts. This passage is specifically about the issue of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving releasing peace to the heart. He lists off some stuff. And then at the end of the list, he's like, listen, if there's anything that will cause you to turn your attention and praise God, then that's the stuff you need to think about. And if you'll think about those things, you will experience peace. This is awesome. This is great. This works from Paul, who's in prison when he writes this letter. Paul's in prison. And he understands the right perspective. I'm not going to think about prison. How do you not think about prison? You're in prison. I'm not going to think about it. You can't make me. Well, what do you mean? I'm in prison. You're in prison. How do you not think about that? I just decide not to. I just think me some happy thoughts. Some stuff that's going to make me praise God. I think about the good work you're doing for God outside of prison right now. I think about all these other things. I think about anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. I put my attention on that stuff, and I've got the peace of God resting on me. It's not about my circumstances. It's about my perspective. This is really powerful. I mean, this is awesome. This is secret power that is available to us. But we get into the point where it's like, man, I don't really feel like it. I'm telling you, do it anyway. I don't care what you feel like. Well, but I'm kind of like upset. Well, do you like that? Are you happy that you're upset? Are you like so excited throwing yourself a party about how mad you are? How disappointed you are? How distraught you are? Like, are you excited about those emotions? That sounds like prison to me. I'd rather be in real prison and happy in my heart than be in that nightmare and be free. Like, it's our decision. Plug the thing into the wall. Decide to be thankful. And just start saying it, though you don't mean it at all. You mean the exact opposite. You're thinking very awful things. Thank God. Start giving thanksgiving to God out of your mouth, and He will start to release peace on you. This is better. This is a better way to live. This is good, and it's powerful, and it's real. And I'm telling you, I mean, for the better part of the last 15 years, I've lived this thing out well. And it's real. And it's powerful. You get to feel it. It's so much better than sad, mad, angry, distraught, disappointed, discouraged. That's just all boo. That's so boo. I want a happy heart. I want to be content. The fuel to contentment is thanksgiving. And if any of you have ever owned a vehicle, I have yet to find one that doesn't run out of gas. It's like awful. Like, you got to keep putting fuel in the car. You have to keep putting fuel in the Thanksgiving engine. You want to be content, you got to put Thanksgiving in that content engine again and again and again. But if you'll just live that way, you'll never run out of gas. And you'll always have that contentment. You'll carry something that's powerful. It's so powerful. People that are happy and chipper get hired at jobs easier than people that are grumpy. People that are like content in heart and thankful, they make friends easier. People that are content in heart, things are just easier for them. Because they're just content and happy, like you want to have morale. They're not like a Debbie Downer. Like, there's something about this that's powerful for life. It's powerful for living. It's real. It's real. And it's a decision. It is actually as simple as plugging that thing into the wall. We just, like, don't do it or forget. Whatever our silly reasons are, plug it in, plug it in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean. The way of the heart. You know, and God invented this idea. And He understands the way that life works. And it is a choice. And that's the part that I want us to think about for a minute, is thanksgiving is a conscious decision. It's a decision of the will. Sometimes thanksgiving just comes out of your mouth like accidentally, like surprise comes on your face when somebody goes boo. Sometimes you just have thanksgiving kind of slip out accidentally. But most of the time it is a conscious decision. It is a decision of the will. I am going to engage the Lord, and I'm going to be thankful right now. And if we just know that, then it doesn't, you know, like we can actually get the reins on the thing. It's a decision of the will where we look discerningly at our circumstances. It doesn't mean that your circumstances aren't real. It's just you look at them, and instead of focusing on the negative, you begin to identify the many blessings that we are rich in at any given moment. Any given moment, your worst moment, in that moment, you are still rich in many blessings. And instead of looking at the moment's negativity and the difficulty and the pain, and instead, look discerningly. What right now can I be thankful for? Right now. Not what do I not have, what do I have? Not what God has not done, what has God done? It's looking discerningly at our circumstances, and instead of going, everything's awful, instead, look at the situation that may well be mostly awful and pluck out discerningly the aspects of it that are a blessing that you can be thankful for. The silver lining, if you will. This doesn't mean that everything's going to go great. It just means that you have the power to choose what you're going to focus on, the blessings or the stuff you don't have. Look at Philippians 4:6, that same passage that we were reading a minute ago. This is Paul now in his entry or intro on the subject. And he addresses, just in case we wanted to know, if we had any out here, he says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he's saying, I know you're going to have situations that would cause you anxiety. Like, I know that anxiety is a real devil, like a real enemy, a real problem. He's not saying that there aren't anxious situations. He's just saying don't let anxiety of the situation own you. Instead, in every situation, especially the anxious ones, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's what he's saying. That is a loaded verse. There's a lot going on there. We're focusing on the thanksgiving side. Here's what he's saying. Engage the Lord with a thankful heart. Engage the Lord in thanksgiving, and that will help you overcome the anxiety of the situation. But you do have to do it. Don't be anxious. No, I want to be anxious. This thing's awful. This thing didn't go the way that I wanted. I'm not happy about this. Don't be anxious. Instead, engage the Lord. Have a conversation with God in a thankful manner, and the Lord will start to do stuff in you. It's a choice. It's a choice. And I mean, I don't want to beat myself up, but I also don't want to give myself excuses when I'm mad to just be mad. I mean, if I have moments where I'm upset and I don't do the Thanksgiving thing right, I don't want to like condemn myself that I'm a horrible person and I have no hope. But I don't want to give myself excuse either. It's fine. Just coddle that anger. Just go ahead and, you know, keep being mad or keep being disappointed or sad. Just go ahead. It's fine. It's not. It's not. Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, thank God. I mean, it's pretty intense. This is good stuff. This is meat. I mean, this is way to live. Christianity 101 kind of stuff. This is good. You know what, though? In addition to Thanksgiving being a choice, it's a declaration about God. It's a declaration. I want you to think about this for a second. Some of us sometimes feel like we're not really able to do anything for God. We're like, well, I got so much going on, I just feel like I can't even minister that much. Or I feel like, man, you know, I'm really not strong in this area or this area. I'm not really, you know, big on outreach or whatever the areas that you may feel like, man, I'm not really able to make impact. Let me tell you something. Every time you choose thanksgiving, especially when things are not so awesome, you are making a declaration between heaven and earth, every demon in existence, and Satan himself, you're making a declaration, God is good. It's powerful. It's spiritual warfare. It's violent. I just imagine, I sometimes think about the different crowns in heaven and like when we show up and we're given our eternal rewards and stuff. I just imagine there's somebody that's got the Thanksgiving title right now. There's somebody up there that's like, this was the most thankful person that ever lived. And they were so violent. And maybe they never did any outreach. Maybe they never did any of this. Maybe they never did any of that. But they were a violent one because they kept making declarations about God. Because you know what? I mean, imagine this. Imagine you're with, you know, your friend. And you're having a bad day and you're just not saying kind words to this friend of yours. Not like super mean, but you're just not being kind. And they respond with such genuine love and kindness to your venom. It's like violent. You know, it's like a violent thing because it just makes you like realize what's going on. Like, oh my gosh. Something like that happens when in the midst of a negative situation, you choose to praise. You choose to turn your heart's attention to the Lord and declare he's good because the situation didn't call for that. The situation called for the opposite, but you chose not to. You said, no, I'm going to give thanksgiving. It's violent. It is a declaration about who God is because though the circumstance would tend to paint the picture about God this way, you're going, no, I know who God is. God is this. Thank you, God, for being this. Thank you, God, for giving me this. Thank you, God, for doing this. It is a declaration. It is violent in the spirit. I just imagine all the demons going, oh, like, yeah. Because they're like, they're looking with anticipation. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. We're going to get him to be filled with anger and venom and resentment and despair and anxiety. We're going to get him. And then your response is, thank you, God. I love you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. It is the most defeating thing in the world, I just imagine, to the demonic kingdom that was trying so hard to derail you. And it is a declaration about who you belong to. It's a declaration about the one whom you belong to. He's so good. I just imagine the courts. If pretend there were all sorts of courts up you know, in the universe, deciding about different opinions and who's this and who's that. I just imagine all the courts looking at it and assessing the situation, trying to figure out who God is. And they see this testimony that you, in the midst of a difficult situation, you give thanks to God. They're just like, this is so defining of who God is. This is so marking about the character and the nature of God. It's a declaration, because it just seems so out of place that they would do this. That they would speak well of their God when the thing isn't going right. It's a declaration. It is spiritual violence. I think it's one of the most spiritually violent things we can do, is thank God when our circumstance is not what we want it to be in a significant way with an exponent. You know, thank God. It's violent. It's so violent. It just speaks about who he is. Well, one more thing that Thanksgiving does is it keeps us from accusation. This is a big deal. Big deal. You know, we don't know exactly what was going through Judas's heart when Judas betrayed Jesus, but we do know that there was money connected to it. So he's taking money that he would betray Jesus. He wasn't betraying Jesus because he was bored. He was betraying Jesus because there was something about Jesus that caused Judas to start thinking about other opportunities, to start looking at other directions, other ways to approach life. Maybe the accusation was, he doesn't let me spend the money the way I want to. He doesn't let me do what I want to do with the money. I'm the keeper of the purse. I want to spend it on whatever I want. And he just wants us to spend it on the poor and on all these people. I don't know. Totally ad-libbing here. But whatever it was, something got into Judas's heart that caused him to betray Jesus, commit suicide, and burn in hell forever. What? Oh my gosh. This is one of the guys that was way closer physically to Jesus than you will be before you die or before he comes. I mean, he walked around with the man for years. That's a really close-knit relationship. And yet somehow, accusation got in his heart that caused him to super duper fall away from God. Huh. When our hearts are full of gratitude, we are as far away from accusation as our hearts can possibly be. I don't want to toe the line of accusation in my heart. God, you're not doing this thing. God, you didn't. God, why aren't you? I don't want to be there. And I don't want to be like one step away from that. Then I'm only one step away. I don't want to be two steps. That's only two steps away from accusation. Like, the safest place to be. When our hearts are full of gratitude, we are as far away from accusation as the heart can possibly be. What safety. I don't want to accuse God. I don't want to fall from a love relationship with Jesus. I don't want to accuse him. I don't want to. Look what Psalm 100, 4 through 5 says. A verse you guys are familiar with, but think about how this applies. None of us want to live bitter. None of us want to live in accusation against God, far from him because of our own distancing. We don't want to live with an offended heart. This issue of thanksgiving is the battleground of contentment or contention. This issue of thanksgiving is the battleground of whether we will move towards contentment in God or contention against him. This issue and thanksgiving ushers us into his presence with a cheerful heart. Look at the verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's the way you come to him. You can do it at any moment. It's the way to get to God with thanksgiving. God, I love you. Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. It's the way to get to God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving, if you just need a little, you know, nuance here, thanksgiving would be more stuff God has done. Praise would be more stuff that God is. But it's all the same stuff. God, awesome. Yeah, you. Thanks, praise, boom. Enter his thanks with his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. I mean, it's like kind of redundant, right? No, we need it more. Just keep saying it over. Just stop at verse 4 and just read it 500 times until we do it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. He's good. That situation doesn't touch God's goodness. Declare his goodness. That thing that you haven't gotten yet doesn't touch God's goodness. Declare his goodness. He's good. For the Lord is good. Give thanks, give praise. Why? He's good. You can't topple the good God. You can't make him anything but good. He's good. So give thanks and praise him. And if you will, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you'll give thanks, if you'll praise him, then you will get to continually experience his faithfulness all the days of your life into the generations to come. There's something about knowing God, being his, and praising and giving thanks that causes our hearts to just have such security that we'll experience his faithfulness all our days. It's the way we encounter him. It's the entering point. Give thanks. It's a decision. You choose it. You just make the decision. I'm going to give thanks. Well, not that you need it, but I want to give a few areas. I'm going to call them arsenal. I'm going to give you some weaponry here about ways to approach the Lord in thanksgiving, things to be thankful for, if you will. Because we have a vast arsenal that we can approach, not just one way to thank God, many, many areas. Maybe I've mentioned this before, but for, I don't know, a couple of years, I had this routine. I just decided I was going to do it. And I just decided I'm not going to get out of the shower, because it was something I did every day. So pick whatever works for you. I'm not going to get out of the shower until I've thanked God for 10 things I've never thanked him for before. Well, it's easy the first week. But long about week 106, you're having to get, you're like, thank you for atoms and ions and placebo. What is placebo? Thank you, God, for placebo. I mean, you're just like, you're just making up stuff, you know? Just causing your heart to like engage in like, thank you, Lord, for stuff and things and ideas and concepts and, you know, thank you for this, the existence of these things. And it's like, but I'll tell you what, I was a happy heart, man. I was a happy heart. It's just something I did for a couple of years. It was just fun. I think I've thanked him for, dang, I can't say that one again. I got 10 more today. I count them off on my fingers. I did that for a couple of years. We have got so much to thank him for. So I want to just give you a few like on-ramps, if you will, to the highway of thanksgiving. A few ways that you can connect to him. And I want to spend a few minutes focusing on all the good things that he's done for us. First, let's read 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 5. You guys know the verse, but just think about this. Everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God and prayer. I believe this goes beyond just the physical things. I mean, God created marriage. Marriage is a great thing. I mean, God created friendship. Friendship is a great thing. So everything God created is good, and it's to be received with thanksgiving. I mean, it's good. It's consecrated if you receive it with thanksgiving. So this goes beyond physical stuff. This isn't just talking about, you know, the physical earth. God made apples. God made apple pie. Amen. you know? And God made Johnny Appleseed, and Johnny Appleseed had a story, and then there was a book that my girl likes to read. So God made the Johnny Appleseed book. I mean, it's like there's just no end to what God made. God made everything. And so to think about that for a second and go, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. All the different spheres of life. This opens up a lot of stuff that we can be thankful for. So I'll just give us some. Thanking him for what we have. You have stuff. And you got more stuff than most of the planet. You got all kinds of stuff. I don't have anything to be thankful for today. I stubbed my toe. You still have some cool stuff. Thank God for your stuff, for the things that you have. Just things that you have. I'm so thankful for these glasses. And so is everyone else on Highway 360 in traffic. I promise you. Because you all just got blurry and all I see is the lights. They're very pretty. So grateful for these glasses. I have stuff. You have so much stuff. Make a long list and just rotate through it about thanking God. And not just saying, not just muttering the words, but like, no, really, Lord, no, really. Thank you for these glasses that correct my eyes that needed correcting. Like, thank you for that. You have stuff. And even more than that, the Lord wants to give you more stuff. Look at Matthew 7, 9 through 11. You guys know the idea here, but just think about this as this relates to our issue, our concept of thanksgiving and the God who created everything and likes to give good stuff. Just look at this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Not only do you already have stuff, the Lord will give you even more stuff. Like, what a cool thing to just know that the Lord has got my back. He'll answer my prayers and he'll give me good stuff. He'll just bless me. So thank him for what you have. Next one. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's done. Just think of your life. All the things that he's done in your life and the testimonies that you hear in your life, in your friend's life. I mean, the incredible testimonies of the things that he's done, and be thankful for it. Just engage the Lord. Look for excuses to have side conversations with the Lord that start off with, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you. All of the things he has done. There's no end to his wonders. His mercies are new every day. He's done so much. Your lives, the testimony of the scriptures' lives, the lives of those around you, he's just done so much. Thank him for that stuff. That we serve a God who's real, who's involved, who's actually active and does stuff. He does things. He's not a God who just is. He's a God who does. He does stuff. Thank you, God, for the stuff that you've done. Thank him for him in our lives. I was a mess. Where would I be? I think about that sometimes, and I'm sickened by who I would be. Who I was and who I would be if I'd have stayed on that path. I have God in my life. I have God in my life. You get to know God. Thank you, Lord, for you. You in me, the Holy Spirit living in me. Thank you for you in my life, that I get to know you, that I get to talk to God. There is no end to where this Thanksgiving can go. The very fact that God is in your life, that he knows you and allows you to know him, is the most astounding thing. Thank him. Dialogue with him about it. Even on your bad day, the fact that you have a God to talk to about it. I mean, there's somebody on the other side of that phone call. Like, he's actually listening. He's really in your life. What in the world? And we're distracted by the bad thing? Like, how did we ever get over the fact that I'm on the phone with God right now? I'm talking to God. He's listening. He talks back. I have God in my life. Well, what are you all worked up about then? Oh, you know, some light momentary affliction. Like, what? What are we doing? It's God on the telephone. He's in our life. This is astounding. Thanking him for what he's allowed us to experience. Think all the lessons you've learned that have made you stronger, better, smarter. Think of the things he's allowed you to experience. Those funny moments. Micah Wright. If you've been able to experience Micah Wright, you should thank God for that. What a delightful person. I mean, things that he's allowed you to experience. Just that roller coaster, the exhilaration of losing your stomach on the thing. You know, a sweet treat. I mean, all the things that you've been able to experience that you can look back on and have memories, experiential knowledge of these different things, these things that you've experienced, even the hardships that you've gotten through that have made you stronger. And you've been able to experience so much. Thank him for it. I mean, how could you get done thanking him anytime soon? There's so many things you've experienced. Thank him for what you've been spared. I don't know how many cars haven't hit me. I don't know how many car accidents I've not gotten in. Now, I can think of a bunch of times that it almost happened. And I didn't get in that car accident. But how many times did it almost happen? I didn't even know. How many times did I not get some weird disease? How many times has the Lord spared me from emotional hurt? How many times was somebody who was going to say something to me that was going to hurt my feelings, the Lord either stopped them or they took a left instead of a right, or the Lord said, don't you say a word to them. I mean, how many things has the Lord spared me? How many? And it's, you have no idea. We have no idea. We know that we have an enemy who schemes all day to do bad things to you. The majority of those bad things don't even happen. Why? The Lord. How many things have you been spared from? I mean, the crazy things that could happen. And you've been spared sorrow upon sorrow. You've been spared 1 million negative things in your life. 1 billion negative things. How? The Lord, give thanks to the Lord. He has spared you from so much, from so many bad things, from so many bad decisions, from so many bad situations. He spared you. Thanking him for our future. We have a future on earth. We have a future in eternity with the Lord. The Lord has a plan for you. It's not enough to him to just know you. He's actually got a plan for your life. There's stuff he wants to do in you and through you and for you. I mean, there's no end. There is no end to the thanksgiving. And that's where we're to be. Be thankful. Be thankful. Yeah, but it's a hard day. Be thankful on that hard day. Yeah, but things aren't going the way I want. Be thankful. That's life. Be thankful. And your heart will be so filled, your tank will overflow, and you will be able to be content in God. This is the fuel. It's powerful. It's called choosing to be thankful. Try to win the race, the most thankful human being that's ever been. Again, I just imagine somebody's up there with the title, and they're just looking, oh man, they're getting close, they're getting close. I'm gonna take my title. I was the most thankful person ever. Just try to get there. You'll live better, you'll love life better, you'll enjoy your horrible days more. Live thankful.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you. This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you. This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you. This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation,